Okay, we're good to go. We're good to go. Good morning, everybody, and it's good to see you. Although, actually, I can't see you because I can't get gallery view up on my computer. So, I must apologise if I make any mistakes. I shall blame the internet and all that sort of stuff. So that's good. So we're now in the today is Pentecost, so it's the birthday of the church, which probably the secular world seems to know nothing about. But it's a very important day for us as we celebrate the cause of what we do, if you see what I mean. And we're here to worship the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And we're joining this morning with all the communion services around the benefice. And as the treasurer says, they can't sing, but we can. So that's good. Now, I don't think there are any other notices unless anybody else can find any. So let's move to the next screen, please. God is spirit.
Let us worship him in spirit and truth.
The Lord is with us.
Let us praise his name together.
And we sing Faithful One. Thank you, Alan.
Thank you.
Now we have to get ourselves ready for really meeting with God. And one of those things that we do need to do, because we're not perfect, is we need to ask God to forgive us for the things that we have and haven't done, we have and haven't said. So we're now going to say sorry to God. What God has prepared for those who love him, he has revealed to us through the Spirit. For the Spirit searches everything. Therefore, let us in penitence open our hearts to the Lord, who has prepared good things for those who love him. Lord, you raise the dead to life in the Spirit. You bring hope from despair. Lord, have mercy.
Lord, have mercy.
You bring pardon and peace to the broken in heart. You replace brokenness with beauty. Christ, have mercy.
Christ, have mercy.
You make one by your Spirit the torn and divided. You increase your kingdom. Lord, have mercy.
Lord, have mercy.
Merciful Father, you've heard the cries of our lips and of our hearts, and we once again thank you that Jesus died on the cross so that we can be reconciled to you and be forgiven if we truly turn to you. Thank you, Lord. And we now know again and again, we need to hear it, that you have forgiven us. In Christ's name, we thank you. Amen.
Amen.
And we're now going to sing again, Spirit of the Living God.
Spirit of
I'm now going to pass over to Mel as she gives us the reading for today from Acts. Thank you, Mel.
Our reading today is from Acts chapter 2, beginning at verse 1. And despite what it said on the screen, we're only reading to verse 21. When the day of Pentecost came, they were all together in one place. Suddenly, a sound like the blowing of a violent wind came from heaven and filled the whole house where they were sitting. They saw what seemed to be tongues of fire that separated and came to rest on each of them. All of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit enabled them. Now they were staying in Jerusalem, God-fearing Jews from every nation under heaven. When they heard this sound, a crowd came together in bewilderment because each one heard their own language being spoken. Utterly amazed, they asked, "Aren't all these who are speaking Galileans? Then how is it that each of us hears them in our own language? Parthians, Medes, and Elamites, residents of Mesopotamia, Judea and Cappadocia, Pontus and Asia, Phrygia and Pamphylia, Egypt and the parts of Libya near Cyrene, visitors from Rome, both Jews and converts to Judaism, Cretans and Arabs. We hear them declaring the wonders of God in our own tongues." Amazed and perplexed, they asked each other, "What does this mean?" Some, however, made fun of them and said, "They have had too much wine." Then Peter stood up with the 11, raised his voice and addressed the crowd. "Fellow Jews, and all of you who live in Jerusalem, let me explain this to you. Listen carefully to what I say. These people are not drunk, as you suppose. It's only 9 in the morning. No. This is what was spoken by the prophet Joel. In the last days, God says, I will pour out my spirit on all people. Your sons and daughters will prophesy. Your young men will see visions. Your old men will dream dreams. Even on my servants, both men and women, I will pour out my spirit in those days, and they will prophesy. I will show wonders in the heavens above, and signs on the earth below, blood and fire and billows of smoke. The sun will be turned to darkness and the moon to blood before the coming of the great and glorious day of the Lord. And everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved." This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Thank you very much, Mel. We're going to do something slightly different today because it's the birthday of the church. And Someone who comes to faith is always something to be celebrated. And we are going to look at one person's journey to faith. This has not been rehearsed, but it's a cause of celebration, and it gives us really an example of, you know, what we need to be celebrating, and how the Spirit works, and how we should be sharing our testimonies with anyone who will listen to us, because they are our very own testimony to God's love. Now, I'm going to interview someone who I know is Lay Monster, because of a typo in an email. And I first met Alan, aka Lay Monster, in 2010, when Gordon introduced us to each other in the back garden of the vicarage. And I remember seeing Alan for the first time, and I thought, crumbs, it's just like Tigger. As he came bounding up. And then we started our 3 years training together. We had many ups and downs, tears and laughter. I lost so many pens and had to go back so many times so he could get his jacket. It's untrue. But anyway, Alan, I know, has a big brain, but he has a bigger heart for Jesus. And that's what we're going to share. Now, Alan's given me some questions that he'd like me to ask, so I've promptly thrown those away. And I've started my own. I did warn him. Alan, what was life like for you before your new life in Christ?
Ordinary. I was all right. I was fairly nice, I think. I wasn't into really bad things. I was a bit of a swat. I think I was all right.
Okay, so what convinced you to become a Christian?
That was when I was at university. The Christian Union invited everyone in their first week, first Sunday I think it was, to come round for a cup of tea. And Steve Barclay, a fellow called Steve Barclay, invited me. So I went for a cup of tea with him and a fellow called Colin Matthews and some other lads. And then Steve started gently encouraging me to go to a discussion group. I kept saying no, but Steve was really, really nice. And he occasionally asked me. So the start of the second term, I went along. And we got into this discussion group. It was sort of pre-Alpha days, this was. So we had long discussions. Steve, Colin, and another lad whose name I can't remember, but used to go through things. That was Wednesday evenings. And I can remember one evening someone came along extra, and we looked at the death and resurrection of Jesus. Remember, I'm a non-Christian, right? And this other new lad said, Steve said, can you please tell Fred or whoever he was what we got up to last week? So I spoke about, you know, Jesus dying and the resurrection and how that seemed to be the best explanation of what actually happened. And this other lad said to me, so you're a Christian as well then? And I went, oh. So it was sort of downhill from there, really. That was what, and then there was, I was reading Basic Christianity by John Stott the night before I was to come home with Easter. And there's a prayer in the back there. Saying a prayer, and you need more than that. You've got to live your life as a Christian. There's a prayer in the back there. And I got to the point really where it was taking more faith to not believe that Jesus was who he said he was than to believe he was. It's like 55, 45. So I got on my knees, New Court, F2 was the room number, and prayed, and fairly sincerely meant the prayer that I read out the back of Basic Christianity by John Stott. And that was the very stumbling start to my Christian life. It wasn't particularly brilliant to start with, but I didn't tell anyone for a month. But that was my stumbling start.
So it was the personal invitation of Steve Barclay and his persistence. Yeah. I mean, you know, because if you're in your freshers week and someone gives you a leaflet, you'd have ignored that.
Yeah, you do.
Yeah.
Because too much. But Steve and this fella, Colin, were good friends, became good friends. And they didn't harass me. They gently invited me a number of times. so I went along, and we had, they had food as well, so that was helpful.
Okay, so that personal invitation was very important. So you had a stumble, you didn't tell anybody for a month. Yes. So you went home at Easter, I'm assuming. And how did it progress from there? How did it grow from there?
Well, just saying that my mum and dad, at this time, mum and dad had stopped going to church in 1966 or 8, because of they'd fallen out with the vicar over dad not paying on the road. So dad will probably be listening to this, so I'll have to be polite. He'll listen to this tomorrow from the internet. But the vicar was a bit tight. He only did half of way for communion. And there was a mix-up on the road. And then the Aberfan disaster happened, if you remember, 140 kids and teachers buried in this awful disaster in Wales. And dad's mum struggled with, you know, how can a love on God do that? So we stopped going to church. Mum and dad came back with a bang a bit later on, mind you. So what was the question?
The question was, you went home at Easter, which is obviously a very important time, yeah?
In that month, the only thing I did was bought a New English Bible, NEB, Nebulous Version. And then at some point I asked my brother Andrew, who became a Christian for a few years later, 7 years later, what he thought of Christianity, and he just said, "You're rubbish." So that was sort of dampened things a bit. But when I got back to university, I didn't really dare tell mum and dad, so I sent them a letter. And then and this was around the time the Moonies were quite popular, shall we say. So the telephone call was, "Hello, mum. Hello, Alan. What's this letter then?" So I was cheating, really. I was sort of 70 miles away and able to explain a bit over the phone. They came up and we went to a restaurant and we had a chat, and I think they thought, he's not in the moon, he's good. But I did ask them, what do you think of Mrs. Watts, you know, what I've done? And they said, "I think it's a religious phase, you'll get through it." Well, it's lasted 40 years. Mum and dad came back with a bang, my brother became a Christian a few years later, and yeah. So it's a long one of us. Yeah, it's a long one. So that was a stumbling start, and things. But I'm really encouraged, actually. So I'm keep looking down at myself on the screen. So let's avoid that. I got a thing yesterday through from J. John, where once a week he sends through details about heroes of the faith, lots of people. And yesterday's one was John Newton, you know, Amazing Grace, and started Church Missionary Society, or help that. He was a slave trader. He became a Christian. He didn't stop slave trading for a number of years. So he had a stumbling start, even more than mine. So I find that encouraging.
Cool. And what is your life like now compared to when it was beforehand then?
I'll try and remember this because it was 40 years ago. But certainly, I'd say I'm aware of a purpose all the time, even when I'm doing things which are not too exciting. But yeah, I know God looks after me. I know he cares for me. I know he loves me. And the thing, I think you get different things as the years go by. But the thing that's really stuck in my mind the last year or so is the thing about Jesus dying for me on the cross, praying, my God, why have you forsaken me? That just goes around in my head. Showing me how much God loves me. I find it difficult to remember now because it was 40 odd years ago. But compared to other friends, purpose, I suppose, and knowing God's love, and as you know, and seeing it in friends and seeing that Christianity works.
So you come across, I've heard you have a conversation with my husband. you quite naturally go into asking people about whether they believe in Jesus, but how do you explain your faith if you are asked, or how do you open conversations if you're not asked? I was just thinking about Jay John when he goes into a train or a busy shop or something, he'll just go up to someone and say, "Do you know about Jesus?" or something, which I would never do.
I think it depends on who you're talking to, really. I think the easiest time used to be when I worked for chemical company, went down the pub Friday lunchtimes. You know, once anyone's had a pint in their hand, you know, drunk it, they'll discuss things that they wouldn't do normally. So it depends who it is. Just, I suppose, be a little bit provocative sometimes, because you don't want them to think, well, yeah, that's nice. Just sort of chop. And I think realising that you aren't going to get the whole gospel across, perhaps in one conversation, but maybe just put something in there. I think, as Nicky Gumbel said, or someone said, about sort of slipping a little stone in their shoe, you know, something that sort of niggles away. Try and do that, I think.
And try and avoid the big questions as to, you know, why does God allow all the suffering, I suppose.
Yeah, unless you've got an hour or so to put a pint in your hand or a glass of wine in your case. I think you need to be aware that you can only do so much and that you're not the only person involved in it. My brother became a Christian, right, in 1984, Billy Graham, Mission England. And Sue and I and some other friends and Gordon and Jackie Bambridge, we were all at St. Catherine's Mark Cross at the time. And we prayed as a prayer triplet. And we kept on praying. One of the people was my brother Andrew, who said Christianity is a load of rubbish. But he became a Christian at Mission England. And I didn't really hadn't said too much to him. But we found out after he'd become a Christian that he'd got a good friend at Meadow Way Chapel back in Helston who had been talking with him. So yeah, you want to do what you can, but remember you're not the only person involved. God's got his plan and he tends to get other people involved, which I think is actually good. Otherwise you might think, well, Tim's become a Christian because I said stuff, but there's always more to it than that. Do your bit, but know that God is he's in control.
And I know that
one more thing, and be honest, because you know we don't know all the answer to everything.
Okay, and we're in the midst of the season of Thy Kingdom Come, which is a major initiative, and one of the things that we've been asked to pray for is 5 members of friends and family during the period of time between Ascension and Pentecost. I recommend that if you haven't done that, do it. And keep on praying for them, because obviously prayer does work. And you've been privileged of understanding a bit about how Andrew came to faith. And well, that's cool. That's good. Alan, last question, really, I suppose. I know what your passion is. It's about discipleship. What would you like to see happen in the benefice about discipleship and bringing people and equipping them for God's service?
I'd say if you're not in a home group, get in one. Doesn't solve all the problems, doesn't get you everywhere, but I'd say that's the biggest thing, because however good the sermon is on a Sunday morning, that's 15, 20 minutes on a Sunday morning, and you need time privately with God on your own, or with your spouse perhaps. But there's so much you can learn from it and grow in a small group. If you're in a group with people that you can trust and you can open up a bit more than you can, say, on Sunday morning in the coffee thing after this or whatever, to me, that's the biggest thing, to go through something with people who, some of whom you'll click with and some you might not. But that was a really big thing when Methodists were. But even better than they are now, they had a class system, not as in upper class, lower class sort of thing, but they really got involved with that and would confess their sins to each other, that sort of thing. We might think that too intense, but you can get a lot from being in a group together weekly or fortnightly. We do have some in the benefice. There's a men's group that meets fortnightly. There is, I think of 3 offhand, other home groups, small groups. So if you're not in one, I'd say seriously, seriously consider it, and let me know if you are, if you want a bit more information.
Thanks, Alan. And Alan has kindly said that if you want to email him, alan.cossey@matvchurch.uk, alan.cossey@matvchurch.uk. And if you didn't get that down, the church office can provide that. He's quite happy to answer questions. And if you want to start a home group, he will be there with you and supporting you. Alan, thank you very much. Alan's techie today as well, so he's multitasking. And so I'm now going to ask him if we can go on to our declaration of faith.
I'll take it. Hang on. Nearly there.
So, we renew our commitment to our reigning Lord. Let us affirm the faith of the church which Christ commissions us to share with the world. Do you believe and trust in God the Father, source of all being and life, the one for whom we exist?
I believe and trust in him.
Do you believe and trust in God the Son, who took our human nature, died for us, and rose again?
I believe and trust in him.
Do you believe and trust in God, the Holy Spirit, who gives life to the people of God and makes Christ known in the world?
I believe and trust in him.
This is the faith of the church.
This is our faith. We believe and trust in one God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen.
And we're now going to, emphasise that by singing, I Believe.
I believe in God, our Father. I believe in God. believe in life eternal. I believe in the virgin birth. I believe in the saints' communion and in your holy church. I believe in the resurrection when Jesus comes again. For I believe in the name of Jesus. Come on!
We have a special prayer for the season of Pentecost. So let us pray. Holy Spirit, sent by the Father, ignite in us your holy fire. Strengthen your children with the gift of faith. Revive your church with the breath of love. And renew the face of the earth through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. And now, Alan, can we screen share so we can share the peace? The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace. If we live in the Spirit, let us walk in the Spirit. Peace of the Lord be always with you.
And also with you.
Apart from Jackie Chris, we should be able to see each other on if you use the camera.
Really
is cool. Everyone. I've got to meet everyone again.
Thank you for that. I hope you enjoyed that. I sort of did, because I can't see everybody. Anyway, we are now going to sing again. It's so good to sing, isn't it? Come down, O love divine. And I'm now going to pass you over to Mel, who's going to lead us in prayer and the Lord's Prayer as well. Last week we had the chat facility to allow people to make prayer requests. We can't replicate that exactly this week, but if you would like a prayer request which we can share, then please use the chat and Alan will pass it through to Mel for her to pray through at the end. Thank you, Mel.
Let's pray. To the words, "Come, Holy Spirit, please respond and fill your church today." Come, Holy Spirit.
Fill your church today.
Heavenly Father, on this Pentecost Sunday, bring us today the surprises of your Spirit. As we gather, we may be tired and weary worn because of the past months. So come among us and stir our hearts with your refreshing Holy Spirit and fill our hearts with freedom and joy. Come, Holy Spirit.
Fill your church today.
Heavenly Father, at Pentecost, your disciples spoke in many languages, and since then your message has been taken to the corners of the world. We pray for all our brothers and sisters who follow your living word with the written word. We pray for those who translate the Bible and interpret and teach the faith. In particular, we pray for our mission partners, Paula and Derek. We ask that you will keep them safe, that you will provide for them and continually fill them with your Holy Spirit as they do their work, spreading your gospel. We pray for our brothers and sisters who do not share our freedom to worship and meet together. For those who are imprisoned or in fear of their lives because they follow you, fill them with your Holy Spirit to protect and strengthen them. Come, Holy Spirit.
Fill your church today.
Heavenly Father, you birthed your church today by the power of the Holy Spirit falling on your disciples, that power which led to 3,000 people being baptized. Even today, many will come to know the saving power of Jesus. We pray for new Christians we know, that you will continue to fill them with the Holy Spirit, that they will grow in their faith. We pray for those for whom we started to pray last Sunday as part of thy kingdom come. Prompt them by the power of your Holy Spirit to seek you, and may we do our part to be witnesses to them and to tell them about you. May our church here in the Mattershaw and Tud Valley Benefice continue to reach out to those who don't yet know you. May the gospel be proclaimed with confidence and power in our churches and online and through our own individual witness and word. Make us attractive as a Benefice church family through the love and joy we express from our living faith in you and the Holy Spirit in our lives. Come, Holy Spirit.
Fill your church today.
Heavenly Father, your Spirit often speaks in a soft, still voice. We bring before you today those who need a touch of the healing power of your Holy Spirit. We remember Annette in hospital and Linda, who has finished her treatment. In the silence, we name those we want to bring before you, those who are bereaved, those who need physical, mental, or spiritual healing, those who find themselves in difficult circumstances. We remember Abby. And pray for protection for her and her baby. Come, Holy Spirit.
Fill your church today.
Heavenly Father, we know we need to bring our petitions to you with thanksgiving. So today we thank you for the Holy Spirit who brings us new life, who strengthens and heals us, who helps us to develop good fruit, and who brings us gifts to be used for your kingdom. We thank you for your love and provision, your grace and your mercy. Help us to become the people you want us to be. Come, Holy Spirit.
Fill your church today.
Merciful Father, accept these
prayers for the sake of your Son, our Saviour, Jesus Christ. Amen.
We will now say together the Lord's Prayer. Please use whichever version is closest to your heart. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come. Your will be done on earth as in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our sins, as we forgive those who sin against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For yours is the kingdom, the power and the glory, now and forever. Amen.
Amen.
And we come to our final prayer. As we wait in silence,
make us ready for your coming Spirit.
As we listen to your word,
make us ready for your coming Spirit.
As we worship you in majesty,
make us ready for your coming Spirit.
As we long for your refreshing,
make us ready for your coming Spirit.
As we long for your renewing,
make us ready for your coming Spirit.
As we long for your equipping,
make us ready for your coming Spirit.
As we long for your empowering,
make us ready for your coming Spirit.
And we thank you, Lord, that we have your blessing, the blessing of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit upon all we do and say. Lord Jesus, thank you for blessing us so richly. And we make all our prayers in Christ's name. Amen.
Amen.
And before we sing My Jesus, My Saviour as our last song, please stay for coffee and chat afterwards, and look forward to seeing you sometime. Thank you. Thanks, Alan.
My Jesus, my Savior, Lord, there is none like you. All of my days, I want to praise the wonders.
Thank you, everybody. Perhaps see you at coffee.